Okay, this is Sefer HaSichas Tavshin Lin Beis, and it's the Sicha Parshas Boy, page 290. As it says here on top of the page, that it's a combination of two Sichas. One Sicha which was on Wednesday during the week, Gimel Shvat. And the other Sicha was from Shabbos. This Sicha is a famous Sicha. This is the Sicha that the Rebbe spoke approximately 6 weeks before Chof Zayin Adar. And one of the main points of the Sicha was about the Friedrich Rebbe's difficulty with speech and how this is connected to Geula and what we can do about it. And it was clear to everyone, first of all, the timing was very unusual. The Rebbe never speaks on this day. The Rebbe went to the Eil that day, Gimel Shvat. It was clear to everyone, the Rebbe, later, it was clear that the Rebbe was preparing us for what was coming up. And this is the Sicha that talks about it. And we'll do it inside. So it's page 290, where it says Yud Aleph. It's in Yiddish, and I'll read it in English. Before, in the Sicha, the Rebbe talks about the whole union of Geula. And the Rebbe talks about the difference between going out of Mitzrayim and the way it'll be when we go out of this goes. That when they went out of Mitzrayim, it says, Ki Borach Ha'om, the people ran out of Mitzrayim. And we know that not only is it words in the Pasuk, which that alone is quite significant, that they ran out, but this is in fact the whole reason why we eat matzah. That the Eden were rushed out of Mitzrayim, and they ran out of Mitzrayim so quickly that there was no time for the dough to rise, and it remained matzah, it didn't become chametz, and that's a very essential part of the Holy Union of Pesach. They ran out of Mitzrayim. In reference to Mitzrayim, there's another pasuk in Chumash where it says, "B'chipazin yatzasim." I didn't start your aleph yet, I'm just giving an introduction. B'chipazin yatzasim eretz Mitzrayim. You went out of Mitzrayim in haste. But when it says that Yidden will go out of Mitzrayim with Mashiach, there's a different pasuk. It says, "Loi b'chipazin teitzayu, ki yim b'shuva o menusa leiseleichun." You won't be running. You won't be going out in haste. And the pasuk concludes that b'shuva v'nachas, you'll go out quietly and calmly. So in this previous part of the Sicha that I've explained, the difference is when do you have to run away from something and when could you just walk away calmly? If you're dealing with an enemy that you've overpowered, but you still feel threatened by it, you're still worried, it could still kind of be reactivated, then you run away. There's something to run from. You're afraid of it. And that's the way it was in Mitzrayim. That although Yitzis Mitzrayim was going out of Golus, but nevertheless, Mitzrayim wasn't totally transformed. The klipa was still there. It was just subdued. It was overpowered, but not totally transformed. And therefore, the Eden had to run away from Mitzrayim. But when Mashiach will come, being that this will be after over 3,000 years of Avodah, of davening and learning and mitzvahs and Mesiras Nefesh, so that's why Mitzrayim will be so transformed there won't be any klipa left. And if there's no klipa left, Ruach HaTumah Aver Min Haaretz, there's no reason to run, we can just walk away. So when it says that there they ran away and here we'll walk away, this is not the point whether you're running or walking if you can walk out calmly. This shows the difference in terms of what was accomplished with the klipa of the world. Now in Yud Aleph, the Rebbe goes further. And again, I'm going to read straight, but I'll translate in English directly. This inyan, the whole concept of Geula and the complete Geula, has a shaykh with Yud Shvat, the Yom Hilula of the Rebbe, Hasidareinu, and this day gets its bracha from Shabbos Parshas Bo. In other words, that Shabbos, Parshas Bo, was the Shabbos before Yud Shvat. So the Rebbe always says the Shabbos gives the bracha for the whole week. That means this week, the Yom Hilul of the Friedrich Rebbe gets its bracha from Shabbos. Which Shabbos? Parshas Bo. It's known that in the day of Yom Hilul of Tzadik, the Neshama of Tzadik goes up together with all his Maisim and all his Torah and all his Avodah, everything that he did throughout his entire life. And this, whatever goes up, is revealed in a very strong way. In other words, just like it says that the day the Tzadik becomes nostalgic, literally the Neshama is no longer bound to the Guf, which means it's no longer restricted to the Guf. It's no longer limited by the Guf. So therefore, it doesn't only affect the Neshama. It also affects all the Torah and all the mitzvahs and all the Maisim Tovim that this Tzadik did his entire lifetime. That from the day that he was born until the day of his Nistalkos, all his Torah and all his mitzvahs are somewhat limited because it was done in a Guf. So the day that the Neshama is no longer limited by the Guf, so not only the Neshama becomes unlimited, but all his Torah and all his mitzvahs and everything, that also goes up to a much higher place than before. And not only goes up to a much higher place, but therefore it shines in this world in a much stronger way and penetrates the physical world in the strongest way. So this happens every single yard site. In fact, every year it happens in a way that's stronger than the year before. Which means every single year the Neshama comes to a place where it's less limited than the year before. And therefore the Torah and mitzvahs and the Maisim Tovim are also less limited than the year before. So their impact on the world is stronger than the year before. So the Yartzeit b'chol shana v'shana is an aliyah which is shlei berech, immeasurably greater than the year before. And that applies to the neshama of the Baal Hilula. That's the reason why you say Kaddish in the Yartzeit, because of the aliyah. Everyone knows that the reason why, generally speaking, Kaddish is said, is that the schuz with the neshama. But after the neshama is already in a high place, especially the neshama of a tzaddik, what's the purpose of saying Kaddish then? And the answer is, Kaddish causes the neshama to rise. And therefore, no matter how high the neshama goes, there's room to rise higher and higher. And that's the union of Devishta's bleak wool is infinite, so it can rise to infinite levels. In this week's Parsha, which is connected to the day of Yud Shvat, it says that Moshe Rabbeinu was told by Hashem, Boy El Pari. Boy El Pari, the Zohar says, the Ayat Boy, everyone knows that there's a question in this pasuk. Boy means come to Pari. What it should have said is go to Pari. So it says, and the Zohar also explains, the Eibush said to Moshe, come with me, I'll go with you. And the Zohar says, the Ayale Kutchabrichu, the Eibush helped Moshe ascend, Idrin Basan Idrin, room after room, chamber after chamber, until he reached the highest chambers in Kedusha. El Pare de Kedusha. Literally, he went to Pare Begashmi, is down here. But at the same time, what was going on spiritually, he was really going to the highest levels of Kedusha. And why are the highest levels of Kedusha called Parai? It means the Spiriyu Vizgalya Mene Kol Nehoyim. Parai means revealed, exposed. Now this is a level that the highest lights become revealed of a Chol Shana, and this too. So in other words, if this is what Moshe did, the Friedrich Rebbe is the Moshe Shebechol Der, so every year he experiences Bayo Parai, he goes to this highest place. And being that the Nasi Adair experiences Boyo Pare, therefore it doesn't only affect him, it affects Kol Anshi Adair, because we're all connected to the Nasi Adair. And especially that every Yid has the Moshe Rabbeinu in him. And especially this generation, which is the last generation of Golas and the first generation of Geula. And we also know what it says in the Arizal, that this generation is a Gilgul of the Yidden that went out of Mitzrayim. If we are Gilgulim of those people who went out of Mitzrayim then, so it's understood that the Nasi of this generation is also connected to the Nasi then, to Moshe Rabbeinu. And this is consistent with what Chazal say, Moshe hu goyel rishon, hu goyel achron. And here the Rebbe clearly alludes to the fact that the Friedrich Rebbe is the goyel, he's the redeemer of this generation. That's what the Rebbe says, that because of this we see a closer connection between Moshe Rabbeinu and the Rebbe, because the first redeemer, Moshe, is one and the same with the last redeemer. And therefore, there's more of a connection in that sense. And especially, Nisidereinu at Ashaychus Miyachedes, and by the Friedrich Rebbe, we see a special connection with Geula from Klal Yisrael, not just his generation, the Geula of this generation and all generations. Because his name was Yosef and Yitzchak. So Yosef is connected to Geula because one of the promises, one of the prophecies about the future is that the Eivishter will take that of Golos again like before. Here's the pasuk, V'hoyah b'yemahu, Yosef adnai sheinis yodeh. So we see that Yosef is connected to Gula. In fact, 2 weeks ago, we did a sikha here, if you remember, that the Medrash says that every single name of Rabbi Shevet is connected to Gula. And the Medrash says Reuben is connected to Gula because of this and this. Shimon is connected to Gula because of this and this. Levi because of this. When it comes to Yosef, it brings this pasuk. Yosef Hashem Sheinis Yodeh. So the Rebbe says we see that the name Yosef is related to Gula. Ud Yitzchak, because it says Kol Hashemeya Yitzchakli. Yitzchak is from Lashon of laughing. And when will the laughter of Yidden be in the most shleimus dik away? Only when Mashiach comes. Oz Yimol Yitzchak Finu. In fact, the Gemara says that today we're not even allowed to laugh, in a sense, a full laugh, because it says only us, only then, when Mashiach will come. So real laughter and real simcha will only be once Mashiach comes. And this we saw by the Friedrich Rebbe, that not only was this his name, but this is the way he conducted himself, that he was unique in the sense that everything he did mitzvah simcha. And here the Rebbe starts to speak about the Friedrich Rebbe's physical condition. Like I mentioned before, that Bechlal the Rebbe never speaks at length and never elaborates on anything that's an illness, a disease, or that's not the Rebbe's way of speaking. The Rebbe always speaks on the positive. And here the Rebbe spoke a lot about the Friedrich Rebbe's condition. And it starts, the Pella, the wonder of how the Friedrich Rebbe was able to do everything with Simcha, becomes greater when you take into consideration that the Friedrich Rebbe was a Baal Yisurim Gashmi Loyaleinu, that he physically suffered a lot of pain and suffering, in a way that this suffering also affected his activities, Beruchnis. And nevertheless, he was able to do everything Mitoch Simcha, so this also affects everyone in the generation, that we also should be able to do everything with Teich Simcha and be able to absorb all this light that we're supposed to receive. Here the Rebbe elaborates on this in more detail. Page 292. Even though that the Friedrich Rebbe has this Gilui, Boyal Pare, as we said before, that the highest lights are revealed to him, and that's the way it is. But right now, it's in a way that the neshama is l'mayla mahaguf. But it's understood that the ultimate shleimus is the neshama coming into the guf. The Rebbe himself said this, actually a few weeks later, it was Chol Beis Shvat. The Rebbe was speaking about the Rebbetzin. And we know that generally by a yartzeit, people always use the word, the neshama should have an aliyah, which means the neshama should go to a higher place. The Rebbe always says there that her neshama should have an aliyah. Then the Rebbe explains. And what's the aliyah? The biggest aliyah that a neshama can have is that it comes into a guf, back into this gashmizikal world. There's a fabrengen where the Rebbe once had a fabrengen in one of the first years, the early 1950s, where the Rebbe was talking about Mashiach. And someone in the crowd made a comment that the neshamas in Gan Eden, they're okay already, like they don't need this. And the Rebbe became very upset, to the point that the Rebbe was like screaming at this person. And the Rebbe said, how do you know what the neshamas want or what they don't want? You were ever there, do you know what they want? the neshamas there also want to come down here. The neshamas there cannot wait till they come down back into the goof, into this gashmitical world. I mean, the truth is, it's explained in Chassidus that it's a very simple calculation you can make. Take someone like Moshe Rabbeinu, right? He was nostalgic over 3,300 years ago. A little bit less. What's he doing? What's his neshama doing since then until now? Over 3,000 years. Obviously, by the time he came to Mila, his neshama was already on the highest of levels. The Gemara said that Moshe Rabbeinu was able to perceive 49 gates of wisdom. Menetesh Shari Bina. But the 50th he couldn't get. But once he was nostalgic, he got the 50th. What is he doing from there? Obviously, even on his level, every day is going higher and higher and higher. Okay, he goes higher one day, 2 days, a week, 2 weeks, a month, a year, 2 years, 3,000, almost 300 years. And after all that, his neshama is coming back down here with Chiz HaMesa. So we see that what the neshama is going to experience in this gashmitical world must be infinitely greater even than what Moshe Rabbeinu could experience for 3,000 years in Gan Eden. So the neshamas want to be here, and that's the shleimus, that's the highest aliyah. Then the Rebbe continues on that the Friedrich Rebbe suffered terribly the gashmias during his lifetime, and what was happening, especially in the later years, was similar to what happened to Moshe Rabbeinu. Kvat peh or kvat loshen, that Moshe Rabbeinu had difficulty with his speech, and it affected his way of teaching chassidus and spreading Torah and spreading Yiddishkeit and spreading chassidus, to the extent that the Friedrich Rebbe's doctor, and the doctor wasn't an ordinary doctor, he was the Rebbe called him a professor, which means he was a specialist. He once said to the Friedrich Rebbe, and he said it in a complaining way, how could this be that he should be suffering in such a way that it affects his power of speech in a way that the Friedrich Rebbe can't fulfill in a complete way his shlichus? Friedrich Rebbe's whole inyan is spreading Torah and Yiddishkeit and Chassidus. So the Eibishter should have given him full control, that he should be able to master his power of speech in a way that's even more than ordinary people. And Lepeil, we see that not only by him, it's not like everybody else, and it's not more than ordinary people, it's even less. It affected his power of speech, and therefore he cannot say Maimorim as he would have liked to. That means, Bepashtus, that he's doing less in spreading chassidus and saying Maimorim. As we know, in fact, the last years, the Friedrich Rebbe wouldn't say Maimorim anymore, everything was in writing, like the Maimor Basi Lagani. The Friedrich Rebbe didn't say the Maimor, it was written, and the Rebbe, in fact, describes how he brought it back from the printer, and he gave it to the Friedrich Rebbe Friday afternoon, and when he gave it to him, he was sitting by his desk, dressed in Shabbos Kabgadim, and he was holding by just finished Pasach Aliyahu. He just finished Hoidu and didn't start Pasach Aliyahu. An interesting observation. The Rebbe describes exactly where he was holding by the Siddur when he brought him Basi Lagan. And this was because the Maimarim of those days were written, and everything was written because the Friedrich Rebbe couldn't speak the Maimarim clearly. So it means that it affected the way he gave over chassidus. And it means that less was accomplished than what should have been accomplished. Even though we can't ask any questions on the Eibishter, and surely you can't say that it could have been more chassidus or there should have been more chassidus. How could we say that it could have been more if the Eibishter made it this way? But nevertheless, we're talking about how human beings could relate to this from our perspective, and we don't understand it. And in truth, this is not only a question for a doctor. Everyone doesn't understand this. In fact, even Moshe Rabbeinu had the same title to the Eibishter. The Eibishter told him to take Yidden out of Mitzrayim. One of Moshe Rabbeinu's arguments was that he can't. What did he say? Kvad peh, or kvad loshen anoichi, v'ani aral svasayim. I have difficulty with speech. He said that he has a speech defect, and he can't take the Yidden out of Mitzrayim. He can't go to Pari to be the speaker. So we see clearly that this inability to speak that Moshe Rabbeinu had, Moshe Rabbeinu said this is an interference of taking Yidden out of Golus, being the Goyal in those days. And that's why he said that Eibishter better send Mashiach. The Eibishter answered him two things. Number one, Anoichi Eyam Picha, I'll be with your mouth, don't worry. Remember, the Eibishter says, I will compensate, that I'll take care that whatever you fail, you're weak, and I'll be mashlim. And the second thing is, the Eibishter said, Aaron Achicha Yilecha Lepeh. Your brother Aaron, he'll be your mouthpiece. He'll speak for you. So the Rebbe says that the fact that the Friedrich Rebbe wasn't able to speak, this is very similar to what happened by Moshe Rabbeinu, that by him also he wasn't able to speak. This had to do with the whole process of Geula. And the Rebbe refers to Maimarim in Torah Ur, the Alter Rebbe and the other Maimarim, where the Nekuda that they talk about is that the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't able to speak, because not being able to speak sometimes could be a weakness, and sometimes it could be from a place that's it's higher than speech. But Moshe Rabbeinu, it means that what he experienced in Ruchnius was so amazing and so high, it was impossible to come out in words. And that is what was supposed to come out and was supposed to be revealed through the union of Gula. So the Rebbe is saying the same thing was by the Friedrich Rebbe, that the fact that there was something with speech was because what was supposed to become this gala was so amazing and so high it couldn't come out in speech. But nevertheless, the Eibishter, in a sense, didn't say the Eibishter cured him. The Eibishter said, I will be there to fill in what's missing, and your words, also Aaron will speak for you. So the Rebbe says, what can we do as a tikkun for the Friedrich Rebbe's speech? And this is one of the lines there that it's very strange why the Rebbe is talking about what could we do now as a tikkun. The Friedrich Rebbe, this was talking about something that happened over 40 years ago. Why are we talking now about a tikkun? So we see clearly the Rebbe was alluding to what's going to happen. That those that are neshamas begufim, healthy neshamas and healthy gufim in our generation, the ninth generation, we have the koyach to do what Aaron did. That Aaron achicha yinaviyecha. How we should all bring out verbally what the Rebbe wants, the Rebbe's teaching, the Rebbe's heiros, and we should bring it out so loud that Akol nishma beis pari. Literally, I guess it means that even pari hears the message. And then in this generation, we'll see the fulfillment of Moshe Rabbeinu's words, shlach nabi atishlach. What did Moshe Rabbeinu say? Why are you sending me? Send Mashiach. But now we'll take and see that the Yishlach and Yatishlach in this generation. And a previous time the Rebbe also said that Tavshin and Beis is the Gematria B'Yad Tishlach. The Gematria of these two words, B'Yad Tishlach. This is also hinted in the word Miyad. The Rebbe always says that the words of the Rambam, that Yidden will do tshuva when the end of Golus, and the Gula will come Miyad, Miyad Heine Golin. Miyad is Rosh Tevis. It's an acronym for Moshe, Yisrael, and David. So Moshe Rabbeinu, who was the first Goyel, David is Melech HaMashiach, who is the final Goyel, and then Yisrael is the Baal Shem Tov, which means not only the Baal Shem Tov, but all the Rabbeim, including the Seder Reim. So these are all the names of those that are Goyel, and those who take us out of Golus. Now the Rebbe says, and has a shaykhus also to the fact that Yud Shvat this year comes out on a Wednesday. What is so special about Wednesday? Wednesday is the day that Boi Nitlu Amoiris. Boi B'yoyim is Nitlu Amoiris, Nitlu B'toch. Nitlu, you see here, can be spelled with a tes, and Nitlu can be spelled with a toch. What's the difference? Nitlu with a tes means we're taken away. Nitlu with a toch means hung up. What does this mean? It's known that the Baal Shem Tov was in Stalak on a Wednesday. In fact, there used to be a question whether Baal Shem Tov was in Stalak the first day Shavuos or the second day Shavuos. And the conclusion is, one of the ways that it was proven that it's the first day Shavuos, because it's known that it was in Stalak on a Wednesday, and that could only be the first day Shavuos. And Wednesday was the day that the Shemesh and the Levana, the sun and the moon, were hung up in Shemayim. So when the Vashemta was nostalgic, the word that are used is Boi Nitlu Hamoiris. It's a play on words, it seems. Niklu means that the luminaries were hung up in Shemayim, but it also means Niklu, they were taken away. That's the day that the Baal Shem Tov was nostalgic on a Wednesday. Later, when the Alter Rebbe was arrested, and he went out from jail on Tuesday, Yitzchak Kistler, and then he was by the Misnagid for another few hours Tuesday night. So he went out actually on the night to Wednesday. So Wednesday morning, the Alter Rebbe said these words, that on Wednesday, Niklu Amoiris, the luminaries was taken away, the nostalgic of Baal Shem Tov. But this Wednesday is Niklu Amoiris, the luminary were hung up again, the light of Chassidus is beginning to shine once again. So the Rebbe says the same applies here. Yud Shvat comes out on a Wednesday. What does it show us? That the day of the Estalkas of the Friedrich Rebbe, that's Niklu Amoiris, taken away. But not Chas V'Shalom really taken away, because right away, what do we have? Niklu, Shnei Amoiris Agdelum, we have the Tuft. That the Eibishter gives a light and a shine to this generation in a way that's even greater than before, as it's known. That the day of the Estalkas is actually in Aliyah, and the Neshama is in this world even more than before, and mainly through the Chassidim and the Talmidim, that they're Mekusha to the Friedrich Rebbe, and they are the Dor HaTshi, this ninth generation. In other words, again, the Rebbe is saying this in sort of hidden words, and the hidden words are that the Friedrich Rebbe was nostalgic, that's an Indian of concealment, but surely it brings a greater light into this world. What's the greater light? The greater light is the Rebbe's leadership, the ninth generation. I just want to add one thing about the union of speech. It's interesting that Mashiach, the word Mashiach, is also related to speech. It says many places that Mashiach is from the Lashon Sicha, which means to speak. And that's why the Friedrich Rebbe once said that if people will only speak about Mashiach, that itself will bring Mashiach. Just speaking about it. In fact, it's interesting in Kabbalah and Chassidus, it says that Malchus is the power of speech. We say it in Pasuk Aliyoh, Malchus is Peh, the power of speech. And that's what Mashiach is all about. Mashiach is the Shleimus of Malchus based on it, the Shleimus of Hashem's Malchus. Anyway, so here, 294, this next paragraph is also a very important paragraph. And it's, the Rebbe says something here, which is a source to our Amunah in today's time, amongst many other sources, this is one of them. The Rebbe says like this, it's underlined. I'll read this part in Yiddish. Der Fun is moving, the Chiddush from unser Dor. From this we understand the Chiddush of our generation. The Dor HaTshi, the ninth generation, from the Baal Shem Tov. Compared to all the previous generations, even compared to the eighth generation. In other words, now we're going to say, what is the uniqueness of our generation compared to before? What is it? Being that the Gula didn't come in actuality. So the Boy El Pare, this revelation of all these lights, was not B'tachlis HaShleimus as Neshama B'Guv Bari. In fact, there was the Histalkus and Neshama Ben Aguv, that by the Friedrich Rebbe, there was the Histalkus and Neshama from the Guv. That was by the Friedrich generations, by the previous Rabbeinu. Mashen came with the Reino Zeh, but in our generation, the Deir HaAchrim from Golas, the last generation of Golas, and the first generation of Gula, we're going to see Niklu HaMa'eres, and it won't be lacking. In other words, the Rebbe is saying this is the uniqueness of our generation, that there won't be the union of Estalkus. And that means this is one of the sources amongst the others, that by us, the union of Gimel Talmud is not Chas V'Shalom as it was by Yud Shvat. The Rebbe says here clearly, in the ninth generation, it will not happen what happened in the eighth generation. So truth is a concealment, we don't see, we don't hear. And even by the Friedrich Rebbe, the Rebbe spoke so much about the fact that he's here and he's alive and his life continues on, and the Rebbe left. These were the words all the time. But obviously, to some extent and to some degree, we know that the Friedrich Rebbe's generation was completed, and that's why the Rebbe refers to his as the seventh. That's why the Rebbe refers to his as the ninth. But here the Rebbe is saying clearly that in this generation, even that little bit, even that way it was over there, will also not be. I want to go to the last page now, I've got enough time, which talks about Meshe'e B'nai Yisrael. Let me just read that last part. which is page 296. And this is the conclusion of the Sikha. First of all, let's read the paragraph that starts with Cholzeh Bahadgasha, where it's underlined. So the Rebbe is saying now, what's the practical hirah of this whole Sikha? That every one of us should take upon himself to learn the teachings of the Bali Lula and to compensate and to complete that which was missing in terms of his spreading Siddhis because of the difficulty with speech. In other words, how do we make up for it? By we ourselves learning the Dibur verbally and spreading the Mayanus Chutzah. So from these words it came out that the Rebbe wants us to speak. To speak to others and to speak words of Chassidus, and of course, speak about Mashiach. Now we'll continue Tezayin. To be more specific, the Bali Lula devoted himself with every kind of Jew, every different level of Jew, and everyone according to their level, were they in their place. We saw by the Friedrich Rebbe a shining face and a happy face that he showed every Jew. And he showed it to Anoshim, Noshim V'Tach, but everyone according to their place, Anoshim according to their Inyan, Noshim according to their Inyan, and Taf, everyone, he related to them in the place where they were. So from this it's understood, one of the Chidushim of Nesid HaRenu, one of the things which was unique in the Friedrich Rebbe's times compared to before, was that he was Meisa Nefesh for spreading Torah and Yiddishkeit, and especially Torah and Chinuch for Neshei of Bnei Yisrael, for women and for children. This is one of the Chidushim of the Friedrich Rebbe. In other words, we find before, every Nasi was always related to the whole generation. So obviously, he gave brachas for the men, for the women, for the children. He provided for them, begashmis, beruchnis. But openly, the Rabbeim were more, their communication was more with the men of the generation. We don't find there were openly so much communication with the women and with the children. In fact, we find there was a time by the Tzemach Tzedek, I don't know how it was by the other Rabbi, but the Tzemach Tzedek, it says, there was a time he wouldn't even have Yechidus to speak to women. And there was a time where it changed. So by the Friedrich Rebbe, we find that openly he communicated with women, spoke sichas to them, and so on. We do find this by other G'dayli Yisrael, by other great Torah leaders. And you see it in the letters that they wrote. But nevertheless, it didn't become an accepted thing. And even those that followed it to some degree, there were many limitations. It wasn't really the same kind of communication. But by the Friedrich Rebbe, we see that what he did became accepted by other communities. That they followed the same thing in terms of their communicating and being mashpia to men and women and children as well. So we have the Hira that now is the time to reinforce all the activities in the relationship to Yud Shvat that are connected to everyone, Anoshim, Noshim V'Tach. And especially the activities of Neshei of Neis Yisroh. That in addition, that the women have their avodah with themselves, they also have the avodah that they're supposed to provide for all the family members, including the husbands. Children stand out in the sense that children, the way to relate to a child is in a gradual process. Children, their kalim are very small, they can't absorb a lot, so you have to give it to them piece by piece in a way that they can absorb it. And like it says in the parasha reference to Yosef, he gave them lechem lefi hatov. In fact, it says that children, they make a lot of crumbs when they eat. It says in Gemara that children actually have more crumbs than the food that they eat. As a result, if you give him a piece of bread, you'll find more bread is left outside of his mouth than goes into his mouth. Because the fact that, in other words, the children, the fact that they don't eat all the bread, what does it mean? That means that it allows others also to benefit from it. Al-Derazeh by Neshei B'nai Yisroel. Amongst the mitzvahs of Neshei B'nai Yisroel is the mitzvah of lighting Shabbos and Yom Tov candles. This is one of the chedushim of our generation, that there's a tremendous amount of women and Jewish girls that tint Shabbos lich. I know that maybe it was that year, I remember a few years ago, they came up with statistics that showed that the amount, the percentage of women that now light Shabbos candles compared to years back was an amazing number, that the amount that it went up was amazing. And it's all the result of this Mifsah Nesher. As we see with Pashtos, when you light Shabbos candles, the whole room gets lit up, and the whole room becomes light and warm. And being that it's a holy candle, because you make a bracha over it, so it doesn't just bring light, it brings kedushadika light. Other mitzvahs you don't see. In other words, every mitzvah you do, it surely brings light into the room, but you don't see the light with your physical eyes. Here, the fact that you see the physical light with your eyes, even though it's fire, that's the reason, but it's also a sign that the spiritual light is more effective and penetrates the physical more than other mitzvahs. The Rebbe says this many times. The fact that you could see the light as a result of lighting Shabbos candles means that the ruchnizik effect of Shabbos candles is going to be more visible and more tangible than the ruchnizik light that's brought out through other mitzvahs. So for this it's understood, how through Neshek of Neshei B'nai Shisrael, that this brings a bracha to the whole family, also to her husband and her children. First of all, we see that when you light Shabbos candles, that brings Shabbos in. So it brings in Shabbos for the whole family. And only after she lights candles, then there's davening of Shabbos, then there's kiddush, which comes from the men, but she really brings it in first. And in the same way, the Gemara says that by lighting Shabbos candles, it actually brings bracha, that the children will be Tamid HaChachamim, because it says Ne'er Mitzvah B'Terer, and so on. Also, Ne'er is the Gematria 250. What's 250? Ne'er means that it penetrates all the 248 mitzvahs, and being that you're supposed to observe mitzvahs with Avos Hashem and Yiras Hashem, that's 250. Anyway, so this is the conclusion of the Sicha, and we're approaching Yud Shvat. So naturally, our main avodah is to speak wherever we can and however we can, to give over the Heiros of the Rebbe. And as we know that the main Heiros of the Rebbe in today's day and age is the Heiros of preparing the world for Bias Mashiach. And this is something which the Rebbe wants to speak, and therefore we have to speak it. I just want to mention something. Maybe some of you heard this, read this, but it's just interesting how the Rebbe connected very strongly the changes in Russia, that this is not just an interesting thing or a nice thing, but this is actually, we're witnessing the process of Gula unfolding. And that's what's happening in Russia. As much as it's totally, totally beyond our understanding, no one would have ever predicted it, no one would ever believe that such a thing would happen in Russia. And the changes keep coming. Just recently we spoke about the fact that the Prime Minister of Russia, who himself was an ex-KGB-nik, he came to endorse events of Yiddishkeit, which is impossible to understand. But just recently, seemingly this was in the New York Times, that Russia invited the President of Israel to come to Russia. And the president of Israel today, Moshe Katsav, is a frum Jew. So in order to accommodate him, they kashered the kitchen in the Kremlin. Again, who would have believed, who knows how many years ago, that in the Kremlin, which is the mokker v'sherish of the klipper, the whole force of fighting Yiddishkeit and Torah and mitzvahs came from there, that over there they would kasher something to accommodate the frum Jew. What's the reason? Because this is all part of the process of Hizgalus of Mashiach. Anyway, so the Eivzal help with this Yud Shvat. We shouldn't have to learn a Sikha to understand what's so special about the 50th Shnas HaChamishim, but we should see it Be'nei Basar, that this Yud Shvat will be greater than any Yud Shvat that we ever had. We'll have the Gula Mitzvah Shleimah.